So today I'm going to talk about Perceived Neighborhood Safety and its association with report of heat symptoms. Here's my colleague, Dr. Banerjee, also sitting there. No relationships to disclose. This is usual format, right? And first I would like to acknowledge two people, Dr. Wolia and Dr. Mary from National Center for Atmospheric Research, Boulder. Basically, this study was part of that larger collaboration between Health Department, City of Houston, and National Center for Atmospheric Research. What they did was they initiated a modeling project called Systems of Integrated Modeling for Metropolitan Extreme Heat Risk, SEMR project, and that was funded by NASA. And that model uses multiple sets of data points, like land use data, climatic data, urban characteristics, including, and also social vulnerability data. Basically, this part where Health Department came into play is to provide that social vulnerability aspect of that model. Basically, we collected the data and through survey, then that information is included into that model to develop that integrated model for extreme heat risk. So this is a pretty much very novel work in the whole country. And there has been a couple of models built before, but this is this kind of wholly integrated model never existed. So our study has contributed largely into developing that model. So some of the background, there has been an increase in the heat-related illnesses in the recent decade in the U.S. And literature indicates that older adults have a higher risk of heat-related illness compared to younger ones. And developing evidence-based strategies to ensure preparedness of older adults for extreme heat conditions is a public health priority. We come to these large sessions like APHA and several other sessions. We rarely talk about heat-related issues. The mortality incidents and several other data sets are on their part, but this kind of heat-related research is totally in the larger picture. It's kind of missing, so we just wanted to take a few steps to contribute to that knowledge as well. Identification of factors that are associated with symptoms of heat-related illness can help guide the preparedness planners. So the objective of this study was to examine whether perceived neighborhood safety can predict the reporting of symptoms related to heat-related illness among older adults 50 and above. So basically we're trying to see if perceived neighborhood safety is a good determinant of heat-related symptoms report. The survey data was collected in 2011, November, in the month of November. As I said, it was a collaboration between NCAR and Health Department. It was a random dial digit survey, and we used landline and cell phones. A total sample was 901. But in this particular study, we used only those who are 50 and above, so the sample size was 482. And we conducted a univariate and multivariate analysis to identify those determinants. So here's the model development part. Dependent variable was higher symptoms of heat illness, and the independent variables were all those, including perceived neighborhood safety and socio-demographic status. And on the last, you see thermostat temperature. Basically, we're thinking like the way individuals, especially older people, set up the thermostat temperature, does it have anything to do with the report of heat-related symptoms? So we also included that variable into the model because we had the data. We collected that thermostat temperature data also as part of that survey. So our general hypothesis is those who perceive their neighborhood is unsafe will also have increased odds of reporting heat-related symptoms. So that was our primary hypothesis. And because of the dichotomous nature of the outcome of interest, which is does somebody has a heat-related illness symptom or not, yes or no, we employed logistic regression model. I'm going to go into results, then I'm going to share some of the tables directly. Univariate analysis indicated that perceived neighborhood safety, race, educational attainment, household income, employment status could individually predict the outcome, which is report of heat-related symptoms among older adults. But we didn't find any gender effect, and we also didn't find any impact of thermostat temperature setting behavior on the outcome. So these are the univariate associations from the study. Basically, you can see a higher proportion of those who said yes to safe neighborhood had lower symptoms, 18 versus 62. And among the racial ethnic group, black people had the highest report of symptom. And those within the race, there was significant difference, as you can see by the large chi-square and significant p-value. We didn't find any significant differences by gender. And if you look at the educational attainment, it also is a critical factor in terms of whether somebody reports the heat-related symptoms, illness symptoms or not. And there is a significant difference by the educational categories. Household income was also significantly different. Those who earned less than 50,000 were more, the higher proportion of those who earned less than 50,000 were reporting higher symptom, heat-related symptoms. And there was difference by employment status. But as I said, we didn't find any difference by thermostat temperature setting behavior. So we just ran, as usual, as a way, statistical way, some of the logistic regression models, just putting the first independent variable of interest against the outcome. So without controlling for anything, those who perceived neighborhood was unsafe were more than 7 times more likely to report symptoms related to heat illness compared to those who perceived the neighborhood was safe. Basically, it indicates like it's without controlling for anything. Then we put other demographic variables into the model. This is model 2. So when controlled for demographic factors, those who perceived neighborhood is unsafe were more than 6 times more likely to report symptoms related to heat illness compared to those who perceive the neighborhood is safe. Basically, those people who perceive neighborhood is unsafe are more likely to report heat-related symptoms on average. And you can see on the table, black people also had significantly higher odds of reporting heat-related illness compared to white. Because the white was the reference group in this case, and other variables were not significant. Then, because this study was more geared towards older people, then we also wanted to see within that age bracket of 50 and above, how does age play a role? So we just ran some of those analyses. And basically, it looks like age is a significant predictor of outcome, and it's a protective factor. We'll talk about that later. And when we included age into this model, again, this is model number 3, you can see the odds ratio for not perceiving community as safe decreased. I'll go back and show you. It was just independently, it was 7 times. Then when you put all the demographic factors, it was 6 point something. And when you include age, the odds ratio decreased. So that shows age is a significant player in this dynamics. Now race, ethnicity, and education are also not significant. So however, so the kind of take home is age is a protective factor. With an unit increase in age, individuals are almost 1/10 times less likely to report symptoms on average when controlled for all other demographic factors. So this model fits properly. We ran some of the analysis to check whether there's a goodness of fit of this model, and we didn't find any lack of evidence for that. And, okay, we checked the 50 and above, but how about less than 50? Does this similar kind of relationship exist for 50 and less? No, not at all. As you can see, none of those variables were really significant. So this was kind of a confirmatory process to make sure your model is really telling the story. So quickly I'll go into the discussion part, which is first three bullets are kind of summary of what we learned from this analytical study. And the second part, the in red, is kind of moving forward, what can be done and what needs to be done as part of research implication. So lack of perceived neighborhood safety significantly predicts the reporting of symptoms related to heat illness among older adults. Potential mechanism could be through suboptimal awareness and availability of access to service, resources, and social network. Basically, that's the crux of the practical part of this study. What we're saying is those who don't perceive their neighborhood as safe, they may not have enough awareness about the availability of resources. That could be one potential mechanism that may have impacted in the higher urge of reporting heat-related illness. And that if you don't feel safe in your neighborhood, you are more likely also potentially to access less resources, less services. And what that also means is you have a smaller social network or poor social network. So that's the kind of direction this analytics is heading us. And perceived neighborhood safety may have impacted access to service that I just talked about. And addressing perceived neighborhood safety could potentially be helpful in addressing heat-related illness outcomes among older adults. So that's kind of our recommendation at this phase, because this is just an association. We are not talking about causality. So there's a long way to go to address that part. So couple of things, basically two things. What we are kind of proposing is it possible that risk perception of adverse health effects of extreme heat is minimized among older adults? So this is what we're saying is it because of the risk perception variation among older adults? Basically, when you grow up, when you get older, your ability to perceive the risk, does it stays constant, or does it start minimizing with the increase in age? So that part has some research implication and some practical implication to go. The second point is, are older adults not able to gauge accurately the potential health effects of exposure to extreme heat? Is it just a phenomenon related to extreme heat, or is it applicable to all kinds of disaster scenarios or all kinds of risk scenarios? So that identification of those factors, those factors will really be helpful to develop better preparedness plan to address geared towards older adults. That's our future research implication. So anybody would like to, I'm sure you are here because you are interested in this topic, so anybody wants to take a look into those kind of data whether to figure out these questions, that would be really awesome for this field. I think this is my last slide. Here's my email. Here's my co-author's email as well. If you have any questions, comments, we can talk now, and you can possibly write to us in the future also. And let us know what you did in your field. Thank you.
Any open up to questions, or do you want to hold them until the end?
Sorry, I missed your presentation. Do you have any information about the bombing that took place in India a few years back? Can't remember the name of it.
Which one?
Bombing the change in trauma system over there.
Do you know any?
What was the question again?
Mulan, yes.
Oh, okay. I'm not that familiar.
Are you in the right session here? This is
Emergency
preparedness, right? Oh, yeah, for older adults.
Right. Sorry, I am not familiar in that. Sure.
Did you look at the similarity of symptoms for heat-related illness and hypertension? Because also that same population may have a high rate of hypertension.
Right. We didn't. We didn't, but we can because we have the data. Yeah, we can.
I'm in long term care, I'm a nurse and I work in long term care. And over again with my patients, the inability to perceive risk comes up over and over again, especially with fall. And I have to agree that it's a very interesting question of perceived risk. But the other thing, there's recently a psychology article that came out that said that can't tell themselves lying. I mean, not that those are the same thing, but this I don't know if it's executive function, but I agree that it's a very, very interesting question, which is why is your ability to perceive risk? I would say probably in middle age, you have an extreme perceived risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're a teen, nothing's risky. Young adult, nothing's risky. Middle age, oh my God.
It peaks. Exactly. Because if you talk about risk as a kind of overarching kind of framework, then perceived community safety, neighborhood safety is also part of that continuum, and that has implication for perceived risk related to heat and other risk factors like disasters, hurricane, and so forth. So it's a kind of a really interesting question because the risk scenario fits into not only the disaster scenario but also in the safety context of the neighborhood. So it may have, I don't know how it plays. This is an interesting question.
Yeah, I just want to say that your findings confirm what we've seen in the field. I belong to our local medical reserve corps, and during these really rare from where we are, but extreme heat, we will go door to door in elderly housing where there's no air conditioning. You know, we know that their elderly are there. And the other thing that we've noticed is no problem, we're good. The other thing we noticed was that they don't drink water.
Yeah.
We go in and, you know, we bring water, but they don't drink. I mean, until we bring it and say, here, you really need to do this.
Right.
It's not on their agenda to really keep hydrated.
Right.
You know, that's not something that's in their mental state.
So
we see actually exactly what you're saying.
Right. So do you think that's because of this last kind of proposition?
Yeah. And they don't, you know, if they're not feeling thirsty for whatever reason, that's a long time, I'm not thirsty.
Right.
Yeah, but you can tell. You know,
yeah.
Exactly. So it's funny, it's really interesting.
Sure. Thank you. Right, exactly.
And there's just, you know, I have a teenage son. I can see when something's not right. And there's this long slope of this blood sugar low, mm-hmm. or whatever. With elderly, they're talking one moment and they're on the floor the next.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a combination of a lot of things that have been brought up here, the perceived risk. It's a combination of, frankly, I've had people tell me they don't drink a lot of water because they're worried about bladder problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, it's generational, I don't know. So there are a lot of behavioral things that are more ingrained as well that will probably be comorbidities, compounding
right.
the things that are going on here. But I also, last sort of personal observation, they just honestly don't seem to notice that it's really hot
yes.
until it's too late.
So the big question now is how can we address that piece? So that's the kind of direction we should be going into. And part of this model I talked about earlier, that SIMR model that identifies those social vulnerabilities, is part of that larger model where land use data is there, building characteristics is there, climatic data is there. So it's still in the progress, but that will define and recommend some of the potential areas to address.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.